I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on a Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular daily routine. Whatever it is that you're doing at this very moment, listening to my sweet voice, thank you for doing so. We're the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Jay King, here on a Draft Wednesday. I want to thank you for playing Draft with us. And if you are not playing Draft, go to draft.com or download the Draft app to play some real fun fantasy basketball with us, and we'll get you a free entry into that draft later on in the show. Also, I want to thank our other sponsor, Greats.com. Greats.com sent me an awesome pair of sneakers, and I'm going to tell you how you can get a pair for yourself for 50%.
Yo, I haven't got mine yet. I need mine.
You got to get yours, man.
I can't wait for my Greats.com shoes to come in.
Yeah. You know, I got a pair of the Royale Blanco, white on white on white. Super, super clean. Love it. Wore it to work today. Made everybody
Rushed
jealous. That's it. So you'll get 15% off later in the show. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Just kind of leftover stuff as we wait for the Wednesday night game against the Heat. And then the Thursday night game against that turkey dinner. So Marcus Morris, interesting kind of numbers with Marcus Morris on and off the floor. Kyrie Irving being, I guess, an MVP candidate. Marcus Smart shooting like shit, but also being one of the best players the Celtics have. So, but I bring up the MVP thing because I just want to get this off my chest right away. Stop talking about the goddamn MVP on November 21st. Like, stop doing that.
It's a little early for MVP talk. And even if it weren't too early, James Harden is still the guy, right?
I love this. You're like, yeah, too early for MVP talk, but here's my MVP.
But I'm saying like Kyrie has started to get some buzz. And
sure.
And look, he's played great, especially the last couple of games. He's been great. Crunch time, he's been outrageous. He's been a big part of the Celtics. To me, his season, this is going to maybe seem like a strange comparison. It's kind of like the 2011 Derrick Rose MVP season so far, where he's been really, really good, and the Celtics defense is so great that he's probably even getting more credit than he deserves because they've won so many games. And a lot of it is because they're just getting stops after stops after stops. And then instead of crediting the defense like people should be, some of the credit is going to Kyrie. And again, he's been really, really good. Like crunch time, he's been outrageous. He has had no equal in crunch time this season. He has been, how many games is he up to now that he's won the Celtics in the fourth quarter and or overtime like he did against Dallas? What is it? Miami, Oklahoma City,
Golden State.
Who else? Obviously Dallas.
Yeah.
There's one more on there, I think. So it's like now it's up to five games in the 16 game stretch that he kind of took over down the stretch when they needed him. Atlanta on there. Yeah. So he's been awesome. But I just think there are other guys who are having better seasons than Kyrie, and that's okay.
That's fine.
That's okay.
But here's my point. And I always end up like being the guy who pisses on the parade, right? Like this is just some fun talk, but that's fine if people want to throw, oh yeah, this guy's probably the MVP so far. What bugs me is like the overly emotional takes. Like, people are entrenched before Thanksgiving. Like, we could sit there and say, yeah, you know, I would say that, you know, Kyrie might be the MVP so far. And then people are like, what, are you crazy? No way, man, it's Harden. And people are, Harden? What, are you nuts? It's like, whoa, hold on. Hold on. Because, like, a guy like Damian Lillard can go off for 40 points in four straight games, and people are like, wow, you know, Dame is probably going to be, like, the MVP if he keeps going like this. At this point, the sample size is so small. Like, look at Kyrie specifically. Kyrie was having a decent start to the season, but you had people saying, you know, he's okay, but he's not what he was in Cleveland. And then next thing you know, he rips off this amazing stretch of just bailing the Celtics out in fourth quarters, 47 points against Dallas, this monster fourth quarter against Golden State in Atlanta. And people are like, oh, man, he could be an MVP. Like, he could. He very well could because he's Kyrie Irving and he gets a ton of attention. But, like, anybody can be the MVP right now. Giannis was an MVP candidate 2 weeks ago. Now nobody's talking about him anymore.
Even think from a Celtics perspective, recent Celtics perspective, last year around this time, there were some people in the Celtics media, we won't call him out, Adam Kaufman, saying that Isaiah Thomas should come off the bench. And then Isaiah went on like one of the best 3 or 4 month runs, offensive runs in Celtics history. So there's a lot of basketball to be played, a lot that will happen over the last 75% of the season. Kyrie has been great, which is awesome for the Celtics, and that's a cool thing. And the Celtics have won a lot of games, 16 straight.
Yeah,
but
like this is fun. It's fun to sit there and be like, oh, this guy's having a pretty good start to the season. You know, who knows what could happen. Yeah, Giannis is in there. LeBron's in there. Porzingis is, like, playing great. Nick isn't going to win it this year. But, like, seriously, anybody can go off for a few hot stretches here and change the dynamic. Like, what happens if Westbrook goes off again and Oklahoma City starts getting it together? Or Paul George, for that matter. Or whatever. Or what if Kawhi comes back and starts going nuts and the Spurs go on a big run? People are like, oh, yep. We forgot about Kawhi. He's actually the MVP. And like, it's just too early. It's fine to say that these guys are having these seasons, but I'm seeing some really heated, like all caps, arguing on Twitter, people losing their minds, calling each other names. Like, it's way too good. Pace yourselves.
Yeah.
You're peaking
at least
too early, MVP conversation.
It's at least 3 months early to be all capsing people in MVP discussions.
Oh, God, what's going to happen in January? This is like giving the first gymnast in the Olympics all 10s. You never know what's coming next. That's why you come to the Locked On Celtics podcast for good, high-quality gymnast talk.
Yeah, that's... I wasn't prepared for that one. I got nothing for that. I got no response to that. You left me speechless, man.
I'm going to give you a moment to catch your thoughts while I tell people to go to draft.com and hook it up. Challenge me, challenge Jay, challenge Sam Jam Packard, the great, who is not so great at this. Take his money. There is money available on a daily basis from Sam Packard. You know, the people are signing up a ton for us, and people, oh man, what's going on? What's your secret? Why are so many people signing up from the Locked On Celtics podcast? And I feel it's very simple. Sam Packard is just giving away money daily about on this thing. So here's what you do. You go to draft.com or download the Draft app. Your chances of winning on this site are 80% better than on salary cap sites. Probably a lot higher when you're playing Sam. So Draft is my favorite fantasy site because you don't have a bunch of people with, you know, whatever they do on those other sites. It's me, it's you, it's a couple of other people that have downloaded Draft, and we just play each other. This is cool. It's the snake draft. So you don't have a million people with the same players. You just got to get it right. You got to get it right. And you never know who's going to make the right pick. My problem on Draft is I tend to outthink myself and I go too deep into matchups instead of just picking the best damn players. So I'm not exactly taking people's cash either. So you can play in a real life. Well,
only you would think about matchups that hard in fantasy basketball.
I really do. I'm like, well, here's a guard and the Cavaliers' perimeter defense is not great. And it's like, I'll take, you know, some guy off the bench. So, and like, no, bad move. But so here's what you do. You go, you play in a real life NBA draft. It could be right now. I was this close to starting a draft with one game tonight, Bulls and Lakers. I'm so close to actually putting one up just to see how crazy that would get. But we could do it. And you're listening to this on Wednesday. I will put up a link on my Twitter. I know Sam will put up a link, maybe more than one, on his Twitter. And you'll challenge us. We will set up the league, and you challenge us. And if you join through draft.com or the app, the draft app, and use the promo code LO Celtics, you get to play in a real money draft for free after you make your first deposit. So use the promo code LO Celtics, sign up, and you get to join for free after your first deposit, and then you get to take our money. So who knows what the hell you end up making. You can end up doing your entire Christmas shopping, your holiday shopping in one stop. So sign up. Locked On, LO Celtics is the promo code, and we offer a money-back guarantee of up to $100 if there are any problems. So search for Draft in your app store. Go to draft.com. Play free right now with the promo code LO Celtics. Okay. I'm going to guess no one will be drafting Marcus Smart.
Do you get credit for winning plays?
I don't think impact winning is a category.
That's too bad. There goes, yeah. We'll probably leave Marcus on the bench for this one.
I heard you and Sam talking about it in the last podcast after the game. And look, everywhere I go to talk about the Celtics is the one thing that I get asked. Marcus Smart, if we look at Marcus Smart's history, this shouldn't be surprising. Like, Marcus Smart doesn't get off to hot starts generally. And was it last season?
This is the worst yet, though.
Oh, this is absolutely the worst. This is absolutely
offensively.
The worst.
Offensively.
Yeah. But he has had slow starts. And remember, was it last year or the season before? They all just run together sometimes. Where they had the blizzard. It was two seasons ago. Where they had the blizzard and he shot alone in the gym. And next thing you know, he was the hottest shooter. He was like Steph Curry. And then.
Yeah, he needs a snow day.
Like, so Marcus Smart is okay. Shooting pretty poorly, shooting 26% from three.
Yeah, that is not pretty poorly. That's way worse than that. I was trying to think of a proper analogy to make, little metaphor, but there's nothing that bad that I could think of right away.
No, his true shooting percentage is under 40%, which is just abysmal. Just terrible.
He's taken, you know, double digit shots per game. It's not like he's just
right
a small role player.
So all of that being said, that I do think he is going to, I don't want to say regress to the mean, it'll be progress to the mean because his mean is much higher. But you know,
yeah.
Last season, he started out really, really slow. And then in January, he got his shooting up to 30, his three-point shooting up to over 36%. And in April, he shot 35%. He's up and down, but he has these, like, things, these moments where he gets it together. So I expect the shooting to come back at some point and be, what's the proper terminology? Bad versus absolutely effing horrible. But
yeah, that'd be nice.
We're pining for bad shooting Smart versus what we have now. But still, and this is my favorite subplot of the entire season, he is one of the leaders in the NBA in plus minus. So
it's outrageous that he's found ways to be a net positive while shooting 26% from the field. It is to be that bad a shooter and that harmful a shooter and still be a positive. It's almost impossible. it really shouldn't be possible. Like, if you shoot as much as Marcus Smart does and you shoot as badly as Marcus Smart does, your ass should be in the G League. Your ass should be in China. Your ass should be in the Netherlands. I don't know where these terrible leagues are that you should be in, but you should not be in the goddamn NBA, and you certainly shouldn't be part of a closing lineup that has kicked the shit out of people, and you certainly shouldn't be a net positive on the team with the best record in basketball. It boggles the mind what he accomplishes while shooting just woeful percentages.
We can't come up with the proper words to describe exactly how bad it is. But on the plus side, look, he's
Do you want to hear an amazing stat?
Always.
With Marcus Smart, Kyrie Irving, and Al Horford on the court, the Celtics have outscored teams by 24.6 points per 100 possessions.
That's a lot.
So Marcus Smart, this guy who is quite literally shooting right now worse than anyone in NBA history has ever done, and considerably worse than he's ever shot, and he's already been one of the worst shooters in NBA history. And meanwhile, when he's on the court, and especially when he's on the court with the Celtics' other best players, they just kick the shit out of other teams. It is astounding what the Celtics have done with Marcus Smart on the court, considering that he has just vomited up shots.
Yeah.
This year. Like,
the Celtics' offensive rating with Marcus Smart on the court is 105.2. The offensive rating drops to 100.4 when Marcus Smart is not on the floor. I don't know how that's possible. But it is. It does it. He does it because his assists are up. His assist percentage is up. He's more involved. I think he's just – and to his credit, Matt Moore did a great piece on Marcus Smart. Like, Marcus Smart is being defended like a threat. He's running pick and rolls, and they're converging on him as if he is a threat to score whenever he's in that position. And he's also doing this great thing that I've noticed a lot more. He comes off the pick, and he's putting that defender in jail. He stops and kind of almost like backs into the defender and takes the defender completely out of the play because he has to stop or else he's going to run Marcus Smart over. So Marcus Smart backs up into the defender and then takes off and creates this separation where all of a sudden he just magically eliminates this defender from the play. It's little things like that that are completely immeasurable. And Brad Stevens says, he had a quote where I tell Marcus Smart, no one on this team knows what we're supposed to be doing better than you. Like that's sort of what Brad Stevens said. It all these tiny little things, and people probably are sick of hearing about all the tiny little things that Marcus Smart does, but that's what makes him a net positive on the floor.
What's Kyrie's quote? There are the little things really aren't little things in the grand scheme of things. See?
Yeah, see, I don't remember if that's an actual quote or if somebody made it up as if it was his quote. But I assume it was.
He said, I don't know if that was exact, but he's said some version of that like three or four times already this season.
It's true. And look, Brad Stevens says stuff like that all the time. You know, the process of getting better, it's you focus on the little things. You focus on what you do best and just do it. And if you do all of these little things the right way, they're going to add up to one big positive thing. So that's, I guess, Marcus Smart. And I think the one thing that people have been struggling, and in the midst of games, and I'm watching my tweet deck fly down like crazy, the one constant that I see in every game is somebody tweeting, I can't explain Marcus Smart. Like, I don't get it. No one gets it. Just like no one gets the 16-game win streak. Like, how the hell do you keep coming back from double digits? People just can't quantify Marcus Smart. Like, didn't Brad Stevens have the quote, "You can't." It makes it hard to quantify Marcus Smart, like all the stuff that he does.
Well, it's funny because all the stats, the on-off stats, do quantify it. You know, like,
yeah,
he's,
but
it, he's, I mean, just a positive. He's always been a positive, and nonetheless, nobody can believe the stats,
right?
Because of how horrifically he has shot the basketball.
It's okay. So you can theoretically come up with numbers, but like, how do you? It's like saying, "Oh, yeah, well, your answer is this." Well, what's the equation? How did you get to that answer? Like, just that
teams have gotten more and more ambitious about just leaving him, like more and more bold. They'll leave him like 10 feet of space and just say, "All right, we're cool with you, Marcus." And he's always gotten that treatment to some extent, but I feel like after this stretch, it is maybe been as bad as ever. The Mavericks, like, they were basically laying down on the floor 10 feet away from Marcus Smart when he caught the basketball.
So let's look at it. I have a question for you. So he's shooting overall 26.7% from the field and 26.
I feel like you or I could shoot that if we played, man. It
wouldn't be that far off.
I would not make as many winning plays though.
No. God, no. But so 26.7% from the field, 26% from three. What is the lowest possible acceptable number for you?
For Marcus Smart. I mean, 20. You can't say 26% is acceptable.
No, it's not.
You can't. Like, I don't know. What has he shot the last few years? Like 35%?
His current career average is 35% from the field and 28.9% from three. That takes into account this season.
So, it's funny because we used to talk about how Marcus Smart needs to get the league average, you know, like,
right.
Like boost his shooting, 3-point shooting to 33% or 34%. I think league average is even higher than that now, but probably when we used to talk about that, it was 33% or 34%. And now we're like, you know what? It'd be cool if Marcus would just shoot like Marcus used to, I guess.
Yeah. Well, if Marcus Smart hit the league average, I feel like he'd be a freaking MVP candidate. Speaking of MVP talk, like, he's just so awesome at so many other things. Like, if he was just an average shooter, he would be great. Like, he would just be amazing. But look, I guess right now, like, he's entering this restricted free agency. You got to say that this is who he is. This is the fourth year of Marcus Smart. And I just don't think we're ever going to see such a dramatic improvement. I shouldn't say ever because it's still only fourth year. But
I think he's going to be a marksman later in the year.
Later in the year or later in his career?
Later in the year, he's going to be a marksman.
Just later this year, he's just all of a sudden be Deadeye.
He's going to just catch fire, man. Like,
that would just be so Marcus Smart.
Well, no, it would not. It would be like a 2-week stretch. There will be a 2-week stretch.
Oh, yeah.
The 2-week stretch is coming.
Guaranteed. There will be a stretch of like 2 weeks where people are like, "Oh my God, Marcus Smart shooting 45% from three." And
yep.
And then it'll all go away. It'll all go away. Well,
it's fun to talk about Marcus Smart shooting when the Celtics are winning games.
Yes.
But people get very down on Smart when the Celtics go down, and like the reactions to Smart vary very much based on how the Celtics are playing. I think people get a kick out of it when they're winning and it's like, ha ha ha, Marcus is missing again. And then they fall behind and it's like, oh my God, Marcus is going to lose him this game.
Yep.
And then he wins them the game. And then everyone's like, oh, that was far more stressful than it needed to be.
No, it's true. And it's been like this paradise for people who hate Marcus Smart for like most of the game. And yeah, I know Sam brought up Lou Maloney, and I saw people losing their minds. I didn't pay attention to what he was. And then I went to go down his timeline, and boy, he was just ripping Smart, just ripping him up and down. And then, you know, they won, and it's just like, well, okay. What? And your point is, and there's just nothing you can say. It's just, all right, I guess it doesn't matter because Marcus Smart does things that win the game. Like, they don't win that game without Marcus Smart. They just don't. That hustle play, that diving play out of bounds, somehow saving it to Kyrie Irving, that made no sense. But Marcus Smart keeps making plays that make no sense.
But it also would have been a lot easier if he didn't have that stretch in the second quarter.
It didn't have to get to that point. Yeah, I get you. This is just the roller coaster ride that is Marcus Smart.
The Marcus Smart experience has never been a smooth one.
We'll move on from Marcus Smart. One last question for you. Has your opinion changed on what kind of money he gets this summer based on this?
I can't tell, man. I with restricted free agency, you never know to begin with.
Of course.
And now he's having an even more Marcus Smart season than he's ever had. So who knows? I mean, he's been really good at everything except shooting, but shooting, he's just been so bad that it's hard to gauge.
Wasn't sure where you're going with that.
it's hard to gauge, man. I have stopped trying to guess how much money Marcus Smart will make because, like, really, is a team going to pony up money for a 30% shooter? Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Who knows? Well, the opposite, if you were to create the opposite of Marcus Smart shooting and make it a shoe company, it would be called Greats.com. Greats is the Brooklyn's first sneaker company. I'm going to tell you, I'm loving them. Like I said earlier, if you're on my Instagram, JK Reds Army, you saw me post the picture with me looking fresh out there with my little black turtleneck and gray pea coat, jeans, and my Greats sneakers, my Royale Blancos, white on white on white. They are super fresh, clean, comfortable. I love them. And if you go to greats.com, you'll see all sorts of styles for men and for women, classic styles, limited styles, more sneaker, athletic looking, kind of slip-on, leather stuff, men and women, just any kind of look that you're trying to pull off, you can do it through greats.com, and you can do it for 15% off if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. So 15% off your first purchase with the promo code LOCKEDON if you go to greats.com. Look, the holidays are here. So if you want to buy a pair for the sneakerhead in your life, this is a great way to do it. If you want to buy a pair for somebody who just likes to kind of do the dressy casual thing, do that. Or buy one for yourself. Like I said, men, women, it's good for everybody. You want to dress it up. You want to dress it down. You want to casual. You want to get the deal now through us with the lockdown code and put a pair away for the summer and have a nice cool pair of kicks to wear with your shorts and whatever. That's cool too. But do it now through greats.com with the promo code locked on. You get 15% off your first purchase. Like I said, go check it out. My Instagram is JK Reds Army. I put a picture on there. You can see it for yourself. And if you go to greats.com, you can see it for yourself. It is a wonderful product that I am very excited to have.
And you know what? It is the smallest thing that Celtics fans could do for Brooklyn after
everything
all
they've done
messages.
For us.
After everything Brooklyn has done for Boston fans should hit up greats.com.
Yeah. You know, like
for Billy King.
Sure.
For Billy King.
Yeah. You know, pour one out for Billy King, buy a pair of great sneakers and just, yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, we look at that. Look at what we have on the floor, thanks to Brooklyn. You get Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kyrie Irving, who is one of the greats.com in the NBA right now. And I guess going, like, circling all the way back to the MVP discussion, that Kyrie Irving has done so well that after a kind of so-so in some people's minds, like, not as good as Cleveland beginning to the season, that all of a sudden he's thrust himself into this discussion, however premature it might be, that he's out there balling out. And that game yesterday was ridiculous. To hit for 47 points on 22 shots, like, holy shit, dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was not realistic. Not realistic at all. And then to do it after having 30 on 12 field goal attempts the night before, or the game before. 77 points on 34 field goal attempts the last two games. Literally, statistically, he went from having like a true shooting percentage that really wasn't impressive at all to now he's within a fraction of his career high in true shooting percentage after two games, which goes to your point about small sample sizes earlier, but it also goes to show just how ridiculous he's been the last two games. That he, I mean, 16 for 22 after 10 for 12, 26 for 34, man. That's not Marcus Smart type numbers.
No, they're not. So Kyrie has been awesome. And the starters have been pretty good. But
not true. The starters individually have been pretty good. Starting lineup has been no bueno.
And this is where I'm going with that. And now I'm starting to look at this whole, like, Marcus Morris is an interesting case. And there has been some chatter through our friends at Celtics Hub, especially, and Ryan Bernardoni specifically, who say that eventually this season wouldn't be shocking to trade Marcus Morris, strictly for financial purposes, because the Celtics are staring a salary, a luxury tax problem in the face. And if they don't feel like they're actual finals contenders by the time the trade deadline rolls around, that trading Marcus Morris might make financial sense. If they're not going to go off and actually challenge for the championship, Morris is a useful guy to teams, and it would save money, and the Celtics could make sure that they get away from the luxury tax, and that would just prolong the things for a year. Follow Ryan at Danger Cart or at Dan Jerkart on Twitter, and he can explain it all to you. He's the cat. He's the cat guy on Twitter. But feeding into that may soon be the realization that Marcus Morris is not having a big positive impact on the Celtics right now, like, which is weird because he did have a stretch in
the Brooklyn game. He kind of won them.
He did kind of win the Brooklyn game.
The Atlanta game, he kind of won them too.
Yeah. But so he had those stretches where he just got hot. But overall, if you look at the on-off numbers, like, his offensive rating on and off the court's almost exactly the same. The defensive rating, the team's defensive rating with him on or off the court, on the court, it's terrible, 105. Off the court, it's great, 93. So he's the on-off, he's like a minus 12. So early, and these are absolutely not like the be-all, end-all numbers at all. But it does give you a kind of an early glimpse into, is Marcus Smart, is Marcus Morris, how much is he actually helping? And is it because he's only been with the team for half of the games that they've played and they haven't had any real practice time? So he's just basically going off and doing what he does, which is shoot, and barely ever pass.
The one thing that really catches your eye about the stats is that of the Celtics' top 18 most frequently used lineups, the only one that's a negative is their current starting lineup, which is with Marcus Morris in it. And it's getting outscored by 13 points per 100 possessions over 62 minutes. So that's right now their third most used lineup, and literally the only one of their top 18 lineups that has been outscored through the first 18 games of the season. And it's getting crushed. And their defensive rating is horrible. 118.6 points per 100 possessions. So they've got to figure something out, whether it's just playing better, whether it's, you know, figuring out how to maximize that group, whether it's, you know, getting more ball movement, better offense, better switching, whatever the case may be. But that starting lineup with Marcus Morris in it has not been at all good. And especially defensively, which is the way that the Celtics have won games. They have right now like a defense that's potentially historic, and their starting lineup is bleeding points. So maybe that's just bad starts, whatever. But part of the reason that they've gotten off to so many bad starts, part of the reason why they've had to come back from so many double-digit deficits, is because that starting unit just hasn't been good. So they've got to either figure that out or make a change. But when you think of both of Marcus Morris's best stretches against Brooklyn and then against Atlanta came when he was with bench units, when he could kind of do his own thing, and that was okay because they were just going to, you know, have a lot of defenders out there, not a lot of guys who could create offense, not a lot of shooters. And I feel like that's all right when he does that because he's not taking away from quality possessions. But he can't do that with the starters because then he's taking away from more efficient players. And right now with him, they haven't defended at a quality rate. So that starting lineup, I don't think it's an issue yet. Obviously, they haven't lost any games in their last month plus. But it's definitely something to monitor to see whether that improves, whether that's just something small sample, or whether that group is actually, not a group that will mesh together with Marcus Morris.
So since we're here and might as well try to figure out a solution, what would a better starting lineup be? Because I like the idea of Aaron Baines coming off the bench to spell Al Horford. It's just another tough defender. And I think when you look at the Celtics defensive rating on the court, Aaron Baines is right there. He's the best rotation guy right now. So do you start Marcus Smart and go Kyrie, Smart, Tatum, Brown, and Horford?
I mean, I think that's their best lineup. You see them close with it a lot. That's kind of their version of the def lineup. Can we call it the Kyrie and D lineup?
How about the Kyrie suck my D lineup?
The Kyrie S my D lineup. Yes, yes, yes. I like that one. But yeah, that's probably their best lineup. I don't know if you want to start Marcus Smart because him off the bench, although him off the bench hasn't, there's not a lot of bench scoring going on right now. So maybe he'll be better off in the starting lineup. Maybe Marcus Morris off the bench is a better thing. But Stevens is already juggling some front court stuff because he wants to get minutes for Tice. He wants to get minutes for Baines. It's tough to get both those guys in there. So adding Marcus Morris to the bench and making that even bigger, then you definitely have to take either Tice or Baines out of the rotation entirely. Then you have to think about, you know, what are we doing with Marcus Morris's minutes? So I don't know. The Celtics, it would almost make more sense for the Celtics if Marcus Morris is good for the starters, but he just hasn't been. And we'll see. I don't know. I would probably – I don't know. Would you start Marcus Smart?
I think there's some merit to that, absolutely, because like you said, they finish with it, so you can't keep getting down 15 points. That's just something's got to change. Now, it may just be that they've played every other damn day and they get no practice time. And there's only so much you can do. There's going to be slippage all the way around when there's no practice time. And what's going to end up happening is guys are going to start relying on their old habits. And because Morris came into this thing halfway through, he's just going to be him until he can't be anything else. There's no practice. There's no continuity. There's no way to develop anything for him to be any other different kind of player. So roll with what you have. What do you have? You have Marcus Smart. You need bench scoring because the bench units can't score. So why not take this guy who can just go take over and be a scorer and just let him go do it there? And so, okay, so Daniel Theis, he loses some minutes. You know, something's got to give. Maybe you find another way. Maybe you cut Baines' minutes a little bit. Maybe you cut a couple here. Maybe you go big. Maybe you try going big sometimes and you throw Horford into the four and you, I don't know. There are options. I think if you throw Smart out there, maybe they can create some offense for him and he can get going with some better looks and better options, better decisions to be made for his offense where he doesn't feel like he has to carry a second unit and he can go out there and just do what he does and maybe end up in the corner and start hitting a couple of corner threes and just maybe get into a groove that way. I think when you look at the two biggest problems that the Celtics are having right now, Marcus Smart and the second unit scoring are it's basically one, and Marcus Morris and the impact on the starters is basically two. So flip them and see what happens.
Boom. Boom. If you got two problems, just flip them.
Flip them. You never know.
Yeah.
It's like two magnets. Look, you get two magnets, they're pushing each other apart. You flip them together, flip around, they pull themselves together.
It could be the solution. Marcus Smart, I do think that's their best lineup when he's with the starters instead of Marcus Morris. So maybe that is the way to go. Maybe it is.
We'll see. I've talked about magnets and gymnasts in today's show, so I think I'm just about done.
You've hit just about every note. The Kyrie SMID lineup was probably your all time high.
All right. We're gonna end on a high note. Be sure to visit our friends at
Hold on. Before we stop.
Okay.
I just want to give out a PSA to the people.
Ooh, PSA to the people.
Do not get catfished on social media. If you are talking to someone on social media and it reaches the point where you are sharing personal information of one sort or another, you should actually know the person in real life. So I say that because Ray Allen is in the news. I don't know what the hell happened with Ray Allen in this situation. He's accusing someone of catfishing him. His alleged catfisher is accusing him of stalking him. Just a lot going on there. But because I don't know what's going on, I'm not going to give my two cents. The only thing is just don't get catfished. Just make sure you actually know humans and are talking to the humans that you think you're talking to. And maybe meet someone in person if you think that there's a chance that you may want to move your relationship to a different level, whatever that different level may be, whether it's friendship, whether it's something else, whatever, just know who you're speaking to. That's my great, great wisdom of the day.
That's much appreciated, Jay King.
Yeah, thanks. You know what? But I will say, I think KG's looking a little fishy in this. You know, he made this whole show of I don't have Ray Allen's number anymore.
Yeah. You think that was one big setup?
He was just making his alibi. This has been years in the making, the KG catfish, man.
Revenge is a dish best served cold.
Revenge is a dish best served in catfish.
Catfish. Cold catfish. Courtesy of KG. Catfish, KG, they both start with a hard K sound. Dun, dun, dun.
What a wild story that was.
Why crazy? I mean, God, what the hell, Ray Allen? I didn't even want to talk about that, so I'm not going to. It's just so stupid. The whole thing is stupid.
Yep. Just don't get catfished.
Just careful. Just know what you're getting into, people. Know what you're getting into. Don't be Ray Allen. Okay. Again, please visit our friends at greats.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off your first purchase of some very fine footwear that I am enjoying quite a lot.
And I'm still kind of salty you got them and I haven't yet.
Hey, that's just how it goes, man. They know where to hit because I got the style. I'm the stylish one here. They know that you're just going to go and throw it with a hoodie and whatever. I am dressing this stuff up. So
I look dope in hoodies.
Go to greats.com. Your promo code is locked on for 15% off your first purchase. Also, join me and a couple of the other guys here on the podcast on the old draft app or draft.com. We're going to play a little fantasy basketball. We're going to have a little snake draft. And we are going to try and take our money. And if you use the promo code LO Celtics for that, you're going to get free entry into your first game after making your first deposit. Very simple. It's fully guaranteed. It's the draft app or draft.com. So please go and frequent our sponsors because they're paying us money and they're giving us this great fun stuff. And, you know, it helps us out too. So do that. And by all means, subscribe to our podcast. If you're a first-time listener, you picked a hell of a show. It's a great show. You should be hooked. So go subscribe. Rate us 5 stars if you're a subscriber and you haven't done that. Give us a good review. Spread the word. Share the love. Tell all of your Celtics fan friends that they should be listening to us, the Locked On Celtics podcast, here on the Locked On Podcast Network.